Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Stephanie.
I'm Tom.
We're going to be talking about someone who's very famous today. A lot of our listeners will be familiar with this author because he wrote The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings. Those were turned into films, so they're probably more familiar to you. The author we're talking about today is J.R.R. Tolkien. He's from England, so we're saying he's British, of course. And he wrote some really cute letters for his own children, pretending he was kind of Santa Claus writing to them. In England, they use Father Christmas a lot instead of just Santa Claus.
Sure.
But I liked this article. I'd never heard this before, but it's really sweet.
If you don't have the time to read all of his other works, especially The Lord of the Rings, you might want to check out these Christmas letters. They may be available online somewhere or published as a book. But that is the subject for today's lesson, and the reason for that is because today is Christmas!
Yay, Merry Christmas!
Yay, December 25th. And so we're talking about Tolkien's Christmas letters, and so let's get to it. Let's read the entire content of our lesson for today, and then we'll be right back.
Famed British author J.R.R. Tolkien is best known for penning several best-selling novels, including The Hobbit and the epic The Lord of the Rings trilogy. However, not everything he wrote was intended for the masses. In fact, some of his most touching works were a series of Christmas letters that were intended for his children's eyes only. Tolkien started writing his annual Christmas letters in 1920 when his oldest son was 3 years old. The letters were written from the perspective of Father Christmas, and Tolkien used shaky penmanship to playfully mimic the character's old age. In addition to the deceptive handwriting, Tolkien also took the time to create his own colorful illustrations. To make his letters seem more authentic, Tolkien enclosed them in envelopes that had fake postage marks and stamps from the North Pole. The magical tales in the letters recount the adventures of Father Christmas, his elves, and the North Polar Bear. Tolkien occasionally used metaphors in his stories to impart lessons. For instance, the evil goblins in his letters seem to symbolize the rising evil of the Nazis in Germany. But for the most part, the stories display Tolkien's vivid imagination and provided fun and amusement for his children. Tolkien continued to write these annual letters until 1946, when all of his children had grown up and finally figured out who the real author was. After Tolkien died in 1973, his Christmas letters were put on display at the Ashmolean Museum in Oxford, England. But soon after, his family decided to publish these letters so that children across the globe could enjoy them during the holiday season.
Okay, it's time now, everybody, to talk about our lesson. We're going to break it down for you and talk about it in minute detail here. So today we're talking about Tolkien's Christmas letters. We're talking about the famed British author J.R.R. Tolkien, and he is best known for penning several best-selling novels, including The Hobbit and the epic The Lord of the Rings trilogy. You're probably most familiar with The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings. I think he's written some other stuff, but most people know him for these books mentioned here. In this sentence, we have the word pen being used as a verb. He penned several best-selling novels. That's just a fancy way of saying that he wrote those novels. And yeah, we don't use this very often. We just use it kind of in special situations when we're trying to sound fancy.
We also will talk about authors having pen names. Sometimes they don't use their real names. They use something that they made up just to publish with their books. So he's called famed because he's famous. You could also just say famous British author here. So he's best known for the two that we've talked about. My sister loves The Hobbit, and she kept trying to get me to read it. I started reading it, but it's not for me. I'm not a big J.R.R. Tolkien fan, but I think I want to look at these Christmas letters we're talking about today. They sound really cute. Now, we're talking about his books, and we mentioned this word trilogy. The Lord of the Rings is a trilogy. A trilogy is a series of either three novels, three movies. They're closely related, and they all involve the same characters or themes. For example, when the Star Wars movies came out, when Tom and I were young, they were in a trilogy. They've gone on to produce more, but tri, T-R-I, means three.
That sounds like a magic number there to have some kind of a work of fiction or a movie done in three parts there, a trilogy. And that's what The Lord of the Rings is. I could name the titles there, but I don't think we have time. You get the point here. But however, not everything he wrote was intended for the masses. So here it says, however, even though he wrote those novels for people, it's still true that he did not write everything for the masses. To be intended for means that's what you wanted to do. That's what you wanted to accomplish, to intend to do something. And here, not everything he wrote was intended for most people. The masses here just refers to the public, people in public, everybody else out there who could read books.
In fact, some of his most touching works, the works or the writing that made you feel good, gave you good feelings, made you feel warm inside, were a series of Christmas letters that we're going to be talking about today. They were intended or meant for his children's eyes only. If something is for someone's eyes only, it means no one else besides that person is supposed to see them.
Exactly. Well, let's talk about these Christmas letters. Tolkien started writing his annual Christmas letters in 1920 when his oldest son was 3 years old. So he started writing his annual Christmas letters in 1920. Annual just means every year. Christmas comes once a year. Annual here, again, means every year. So you could have your annual year-end party, which I believe is going to be coming up for lots of companies here within the month. It's the end of the year, so we're going to have these year-end parties and bonuses and stuff. And so these were his annual Christmas letters. They came out once a year.
The letters were written from the perspective of Father Christmas. I mentioned in the opening that a lot of people in England refer to Santa Claus as Father Christmas. Perspective. Perspective is a noun. It means your viewpoint, how you see something. It's your particular way of looking at something and understanding it. We have different perspectives than other people based on how we grew up, our education, our background, things like that can affect or influence your perspective. The letters were written from the perspective of Father Christmas, meaning it was as if Santa Claus was writing these letters to the kids and not J.R.R. Tolkien.
And he did not use a typewriter. He actually used shaky penmanship to kind of mimic the character's old age. We think of Father Christmas as being an old man with a white beard, so of course he's old, and if he writes, he's going to have what we're calling shaky penmanship. Something shaky, at least when we talk about writing, when it's not perfectly straight, it's got a lot of kind of bends in it, and it kind of breaks up here and there. Your grandmother, if she's like 95 years old trying to write a letter by hand, she's also going to have some shaky handwriting, or in this case, penmanship. And penmanship, of course, refers to the skill of being able to write by hand, usually in cursive script, but I guess sometimes we use print. But when I think of penmanship, I think of writing cursively.
A lot of times we joke about how doctors in the U.S. have poor penmanship.
Yeah.
It's very difficult to read what they write by hand because they just kind of scribble. They're not very careful. So he wrote with very unsteady movements when he was writing the letters to mimic Santa Claus's old age. If you mimic something, it simply means you copy it. So he was trying to pretend he was Santa Claus and copy that shaky penmanship.
Right, to mimic, as you said, to copy. Oftentimes we talk about mimicking someone's voice, you know. Maybe I could sound like a squirrel cartoon character or something. I'm mimicking the voice there, making up a voice there. But here, yes, he's just trying to act as if he were Father Christmas by writing in shaky penmanship. And in addition to the text, Tolkien also took the time to create his own colorful illustrations. The text, of course, refers to the written words, but in addition to the text, he also provided illustrations. They were colorful illustrations. An illustration is usually a drawing, not always, but usually a drawing, some kind of artwork that goes along with written text to help explain it or help demonstrate what's in the text.
Yeah, and for little kids, there are always illustrations in their books. It's not enough just to see the words because most of them can't read when they're really young. So they like to look at the pictures. Those are the illustrations. I didn't know he could draw. That's kind of cool. Now, to make his letters seem more authentic, Tolkien would enclose them in envelopes that had fake postage marks and stamps from the North Pole.
Cool.
Cool. If something's authentic, it's real. It's genuine. So he wanted to fool his kids into believing that they were really getting a letter from the North Pole.
Right. Is the painting a fake or is it authentic? No, it was really painted by Picasso. It's authentic. It's real. So, yes, he wanted his letters to be more authentic, and he enclosed them in envelopes that had these fake postage marks. To enclose means to put something inside of an envelope in this case.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, of course, when you send a letter in the old days when we wrote letters by hand or by typewriter, we would fold them up and enclose them in an envelope. We would put them inside the envelope. And in this case, these envelopes had fake postage marks. Fake means they're not true. They're false. They're not real. So, yes, these postage marks, of course, usually are by some kind of machine. They have sort of these wavy lines, right? And then it says where it's from, like Taipei, for example. That would be a postage mark, which is usually stamped over the stamp itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's just usually added in the post office. I don't know how he did these fake postage marks, but that's really a fun idea. And we all know that Santa Claus supposedly lives in the North Pole. So a lot of kids who write letters to Santa at Christmas and telling Santa what they want, they will often put his address as being in the North Pole. So this is kind of fun. It sounds like J.R.R. Tolkien was a great dad. He went to a lot of trouble for his kids. Right now, guys, we're going to listen to our Chinese teacher for some more explanation, and then we'll be back.
Hi, everyone. My name's Jenny. 今天我们要看的是第13单元。今天呢，这篇是篇章结构。那我们要注意到做篇章结构的时候，要注意前后文字的连结。这个当中的相关性在哪里？好，去找出蛛丝马迹来判断你要选的答案。那今天的主题呢，是谈《魔戒》的作者。这个作者大家都知道，他写了《魔戒》三部曲，也知道他写了《Hobbit》《哈比人》这本小说。那可是这边要提的是他这些名著之外的不为人知的，其实现在大家知道了，就是大家以往不清楚的，他也写 Christmas letters， 也就是圣诞节的信。在第一段里面呢，他这边就提到说，并不是他写的每一样作品都是为大众所写的。大家只知道魔戒，可是他说这边不是哦。那下面这一句应该填哪一个呢？好，在选项里面有一个选项就是 D。In fact， 他用这个转成词进一步来说明说啊，对，他的作品其实并不一定都是为大众写，而是有些只写给他自己的小孩子去阅读的，所以这句话跟他承接起来是最顺的一个答案，就是 D。 他后面第二格提到这个信，他说是每一年写，而且是在小孩三岁的时候。那跟这些信的内容有关的，也就是选项里面呢 ，C， the letters were written from the perspective of Father Christmas。这个前面这句就是在讲他写的圣诞信，而下面 C 选项就告诉你这个信是怎么写的。哦，所以这个答案应该是非常的适合。也就是用圣诞老公公的口吻去写信，甚至于他还用颤抖的字体来写信，主要就是要模仿那种圣诞老公公老人家的那个笔法。那他当然继续又说了，除了用这样子这种骗人的这种字体之外啊， Tolkien 他还画插图，照这里为止都还在谈这个圣诞信，还没有结束哦。那第三格他应该填什么呢？好，我们看到选项里面 就是在讲他怎么写这个圣诞信，怎么让这个圣诞信看起来像是圣诞老公公写的。选项的 A， 他就说了，为了让这个信看起来更逼真，更有可信度，那他呢，还怎么样，用那种假冒的这个邮戳，然后呢，还放那个从北极来的邮票。所以很显然，这就是最适当的答案 A。
We're going to take a short break. Stay tuned, we'll be right back.
Okay, everybody, welcome back to our program. We're going to continue with our special Christmas program. We're talking about the letters of J.R.R. Tolkien, the Christmas letters that he was writing to his kids when they were very small. And we talked about the fact that the character in the letters, the person writing the letters, is supposedly Father Christmas, a.k.a. also known as Santa Claus.
That's right. He started these letters annually in 1920 when his oldest son was 3 and kept up the tradition, you could say. He kept doing it for years and years. Well, the magical tales in the letter, the letters that he wrote, recount the adventures of Father Christmas. So if you're going to recount something, it simply means you're going to tell someone about what happened. You're going to describe something. You're going to give an account. And so when you recount, you tell something again. We could say, you know, John recounted how he got lost on the way home when he told me that he was going to come visit. So he recounted just to tell someone about an event or a situation that happened. You describe it.
It doesn't mean you're telling the story again. It just means you're telling the story, recounting the story. So here the letters recount the adventures of Father Christmas. So Father Christmas, of course, is an old fella. He's had a very exciting life living at the North Pole and going out on Christmas Eve and delivering presents. So lots of things have happened to him. So we talk about his adventures. And an adventure, of course, is some kind of unusual or exciting trip or activity that has happened to you, especially if you're out traveling around and you run into dangerous animals and things like that. Those are adventures.
Or how he got stuck in someone's chimney one year.
Yeah, had to clean his suit. It was all black with the soot. Or he stepped in the fire accidentally.
Or maybe one of his reindeer got sick and he had to go find a replacement. These are all his adventures that he made up. An elf, E-L-F, is the singular form of this plural noun here, elves. So if you have lots of elves, it's actually spelled E-L-V-E-S, elves. Those are those small creatures in stories. They usually have pointed ears and magical powers. And the elves would help Santa make up all the toys for the boys and girls.
Indeed, and Tolkien occasionally used metaphors in his stories to impart lessons. A metaphor is usually a part of speech in which a word or a phrase is applied to an object or something that happens to which it really doesn't apply. Okay, so you could talk about different metaphors in life, for example, something that basically represents something else, but they, on the surface, don't really have anything to do with each other.
Let me give you an example. It's kind of a weird word we use in English literature, metaphor. For example, if I said, oh, I'm drowning in paperwork, it's a metaphor in which having to deal with a lot of paperwork is being compared to drowning in an ocean of water. You just feel like, oh, wow, there's so much paperwork, I'm going to die. So you can be drowning in paperwork. Are you really drowning? Is there water around you as you go through all your paperwork? No. But it's just a very descriptive way in English to give someone a quick idea to let them know, oh, I have too much work. I can't take it.
Or I'm surrounded by the clouds of sadness. Clouds, in that case, don't have anything to do with sadness, but again, that's a metaphor here. And he would use metaphors in these stories to impart lessons. If you impart something, that means you take something from one place and you put it in the mind of somebody else, okay, to impart knowledge, basically to teach people or to give them information so that they know it.
A more formal verb, I think. We usually don't use it when we're speaking. You'll see it in written English more, just to make something known to someone. So you're conveying, communicating are two other similar words. I don't think we mentioned this word occasionally. He just did this occasionally, which means sometimes, but not very often. I occasionally will go to McDonald's. I don't go very often because it's unhealthy, but I occasionally need a Big Mac. Mm. So he occasionally would use these metaphors to communicate to his kids. For instance, here's an example. The evil goblins in his letters seem to symbolize the rising evil of the Nazis in Germany. A goblin is not, it's not something that really exists. It's in stories, and it's usually an ugly, sometimes evil creature that likes to cause trouble.
Yeah, they're kind of small, too, and they also exist in folk stories. They don't really exist.
They were in Harry Potter, too.
Yeah, goblins are all over fantasy novels.
Uh-huh.
But in this case, he mentioned goblins in his letters, and, well, there may be a metaphor for the Nazis, which were gaining power at the time. Remember, he began to write his letters in the 1920s, and the Nazis were, they became mostly active in the late 20s and the 30s before they eventually took over Germany's government, and the rest is history there. But yeah, they think that he talked about these evil goblins as a way to symbolize the evil Nazis with Adolf Hitler at their helm.
Now, the stories display Tolkien's vivid imagination, but they also provided fun and amusement for his kids. If you display something here, it just means you're showing something, you're demonstrating something by giving examples. Well, he demonstrates through these letters, he had a vivid imagination. Vivid here means it almost seems like real life because the way he writes is very clear, it's very detailed. It captures the imagination. Your imagination is your ability to picture things or imagine things in your mind that aren't real.
Exactly. Imagination, of course, is when you think about things, you make up these ideas. We always talk about children. They have wild imaginations. They're always imagining things.
Uh-huh.
And so he had this vivid imagination, and he also provided fun and amusement for his children. Amusement means you're making people feel happy. They're entertained.
He continued to write these annual letters until 1946. Remember, he started in 1920, so he wrote them for quite a while. He stopped because all of his children had grown up and finally figured out who the real author was. No, it wasn't Father Christmas. It was their dad. If you figure something out, it means you solve some sort of puzzle. You start to understand or find something out by thinking through it. So they figured out, there really isn't a Santa Claus. This must be somebody else. Must be our dad. He's an author.
They figured it out, although they may have known all along, but they just kept on reading the letters because they were so much fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, at that point, they were all grown. And after Tolkien died in 1973, his Christmas letters were put on display at the Ashmolean Museum in Oxford, England. So I guess if you happen to be in Oxford there, you could stop by this Ashmolean Museum there and check out those letters, although I don't know if they're on display at the moment, but, you know, if you don't necessarily want to see the real thing, you can probably find copies of them online somewhere.
Well, we learn in the final sentence that his family decided to publish the letters. So you could go to Amazon.com and buy these letters yourself and take a look at them. They aren't the original letters. The originals are, of course, kept in a museum because they're very valuable. If you publish something, you prepare it to be printed and to be sold to the public. Usually in a bookstore, right? Mm-hmm. Or maybe a newspaper stand. You can buy newspapers that are published daily. We publish lots of things, but it has to be written. And if you publish again, you're doing it in order to sell something to the public.
Indeed. So these letters have been published. It kind of depends on if they've been printed recently. You could probably find a copy on Amazon.com or some online bookstore. Although I have a feeling that they are available online somewhere, although they might not necessarily be free. But, you know, if they are charging for an ebook, for example, it's a small price to pay for some really great literature for the holiday season. Happy Christmas. Well, let's end our lesson now by listening to our Chinese teacher again.
好，我们继续来看后半段。好，提到了他怎么样去想尽办法让他的信看起来像是圣诞老公公写的。那接下来他就说到信的内容。这个啊，信的内容呢，描述的内容啊、主要是跟圣诞老公公、他这些精灵们，还有这个北极熊里面的冒险。那 Tolkien 呢，他偶尔，好，注意到这个字 occasionally。提到他偶尔会怎么写啊？会用隐喻，然后来暗示或传授某一些他想要教小孩子的道理。比如说呢，他就会把那种 goblins 这种妖精啊，邪恶的妖精，然后其实是要象征是在德国的那种恐怖的纳粹。那这样子来说是偶尔啦，可是接下来下面的选项里头，诶，谈到他的做法，他写信的内容，答案选项有一个 B 里面说 But for the most part， 也就是大部分来说他其实没有这样做，因为前面讲 occasionally 偶尔啊会加一点隐喻啊，故意要教诲小孩某些道理，可是其实大部分来讲他是表现出他这种鲜活的想象力。诶，这就是最适合的答案了，选项 B。 接下来下面最后一段呢，他说到 Tolkien 他写这样子的圣诞信呢，一直写到1946年。那时候小孩子长大了，想想看，小孩子当时应该是29岁左右，快要30了。那他们也知道是谁写这封信了，所以后来他的信呢，家人们就把他公开的展示，然后在1973年的时候圣诞信就在博物馆里面让大家公开来观赏。不过提到这个信件最后在他过世之后如何处理，那接下来的第五格剩下的最后一个可以选的答案也就是 E， 因为选项 E 里面就讲到在他家人之后呢，很快的就决定干脆把这些信给出版，让这些信出版问世，这样子一来全球的儿童都可以欣赏得到。好，我们看一个文法的结构哦。在最后这一段里面呢，一开头的地方它有一个 until 1946， 一直到1946年。好，注意到年1946后面加了一个逗点，逗点之后写一个 when， 这样子的用法，有了逗点隔开，后面这个关系子句由关系副词 when 所引导出来的，就是一个非限定用法的关系子句。而 when 这个关系副词它所取代的就是前面讲的 until 1946。
That is all the time we have for today. Thank you so much for joining us and have a wonderful holiday season. From all of us here at English Digest, I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Merry Christmas.